If I had to say the one thing that we heard over and over from moms was, I didn't feel listened to. I didn't feel like anybody heard me or anybody was taking the time or they were, and particularly with the Black moms that we met. And then they would, and then there would be like a breath of fresh air because they met a midwife who would sit down and talk to them.
What can we say about the state of giving birth in the United States in the 21st century, the current maternal health crisis, and the roles that nurses and nurse midwives continue to play in changing that paradigm? Let's talk all about it with documentary filmmaker Carolyn Jones and film producer Lisa Frank of the American Nurse Project and Carolyn Jones Productions, right here on episode 472 of The Nurse Keith Show. Hey there, this is Nurse Keith. Happy Nurses Week, almost. And this podcast is about you. It's about your personal and professional development, your career, and the healthcare system writ large. And I'm here to share education, ideas, diatribes, and informative interviews with some of the most inspiring people from the worlds of healthcare, nursing, entrepreneurship, medicine, filmmaking, and beyond. I love having you along for the ride, and I thank you from the bottom of my nurse podcaster's heart for being part of the growing Nurse Keith Nation. And if you'd like to help other people find the show, of course, my ubiquitous request is to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Google or Amazon or Spotify, or become a patron at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/NurseKeith, and just share the show with anyone who you think would appreciate it or get something out of it or enjoy it. And I appreciate anything you would like to do to support us. Please head over to nursekeith.com to find the show notes for this episode. And all the links in the show notes will also be in any podcasting app where you happen to be listening. And like I said, we're here with documentary filmmaker Carolyn Jones and film producer Lisa Frank. This is their third time on The Nurse Keith Show. Every time a film comes out, I want to have them on the show. And it's such an honor to have you both here to celebrate Nurses Week and to celebrate the launch of this amazing new film. And Carolyn, I want to ask you the first question, and it revolves around why you were drawn to do a film about the state of maternal health and the maternal health crisis and birthing in the United States right now at this time. What was the impetus?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having us on the show. We love being with you, and it's great to have an opportunity to talk to nurses before Nurse Appreciation Week. So we love that. And you know, it's funny when we do a project like this, the origin comes from all of us. It comes from Lisa's desire to do something in this world. And we have nurses that were, that I was involved with and got to know along the way that wanted to support this project. For me personally, I'm really affected by the news, and the headlines of the maternal mortality crisis in the United States were really getting under my skin. And as once we decided to do a film about that and started digging in, we realized that the needle could be moved the fastest by nurses, and more nurse midwives was a big part of that. But nurses in general, who they are and how they function, and the fact that they're kind of hardwired to listen to patients, which is the one thing we discovered we're not doing with women. Those are the things that drew me to this, really wanting to do it. The documentary film process is always a journey, and we never quite know what we're going to find. We launch out there into the world trying to find an answer to a question, and it becomes an unfolding. And as it unfolded, it became more and more clear to us that it was very much about nurses and what they're able to do to move the needle.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much. And the timing of Nurses Week couldn't be better. And Lisa, just to catch some of our audience up, and we'll make sure there are links in the show notes, but what are the other films and projects you all have done related to nurses in the US, just so we can round out the story?
Sure. This is our fourth film with nurses at the core. We started with a project called the American Nurse Project, which originally was a photography book with Carolyn's photos and interviews of 75 nurses all across the country. And we didn't even intend to start a documentary film project, but there was so much richness in that world of nurses. So we decided to dive in. So the first film was called The American Nurse. And then we wanted to look at end-of-life choices being made by patients and how nurses played such an influential role in guiding patients when they were faced with life-threatening illnesses. And so that was called Defining Hope. That was our second film. And our third film was pre-COVID, looking at emergency departments across the country. Then we were in the middle of filming when COVID hit. So that film is called In Case of Emergency, and it's bookended by stories of emergency department nurses during the COVID pandemic in the midst of that first spring, but also looking at all of the issues they were already dealing with in emergency departments, from the opioid crisis to gun violence to lack of health insurance. So that cascading effect of all of those things and compounded with the COVID pandemic just made for such a complicated situation in our emergency departments. So those are the three films. And now here we are looking at maternal health with this being our fourth film with a nurse focus.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've seen all of them, of course. And we screened The American Nurse here in Santa Fe. And then we also screened Defining Hope here in Santa Fe, which was really exciting too. And, you know, Carolyn, looking at the maternal health crisis in the US, so we're this technologically advanced culture, society, et cetera, right? However, maternal health is not what it could be, and especially for women of color. So what did you discover in the course of making this film about what's happening in the world of birth right now in the United States, especially for those communities, but for any woman who is actually entering into that particular stage of life?
Yeah, it's frightening. I mean, what's going on in this country right now with maternal health is frightening on every level. I mean, I feel like as women, we've lost so much ground with our own bodies and so much control over, we've lost control over what we're able to do and the choices we're able to make. And it's brought us to this place where we don't have autonomy anymore. And I think that women in this country, and let me just back up for a second. I think, you know, there are a lot of criticisms to be made about how much money America pays for healthcare and how bad some of our outcomes are. And this is really one of the worst. But I don't think people went into this with a bad idea. But, you know, a long time ago, birth became medicalized and it became kind of taken over by the OBGYN docs, of which there are many great ones, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there was an idea to make it less painful for women. There was an idea that it shouldn't be that hard to give birth and that if we standardize some things, we could make it better. And in the course of that, we really medicalized it to the point where we try to fit women into this schedule of giving birth. And if things don't progress exactly the way they're supposed to, then we intervene. And sometimes those interventions, which are like Pitocin or whatever else they're deciding to do, they might create what Deborah Bingham in our film calls a cascade of events that could ultimately lead to needing a C-section where you might not have needed one. And I think that we've become just not very knowledgeable about what all these different paths entail, especially a C-section. So, you know, I think I was horrified over and over by reading these headlines. Looking at issues through the lens of nurses has been productive for Lisa and I for the last 12 years. It gives us an insight, it strips away the politics and gives us an opportunity to look at the problem as it is. What's really happening? What really matters here? And, you know, I think one of the things is we don't listen to women enough. And that's where we found that the nurses came in so beautifully. But also, I think as we started this project and we'd go out into the world and say, oh, well, you know, we're meeting midwives, and people were like, oh, is that still a thing? Are there midwives? Is that like a Harry Potter thing, midwifery, you know, you give birth out in the woods with incense burning. People have so little understanding of what, you know, what that means, what midwifery really is all about, what a doula does. They don't know what C-sections look like and how violent they really can be. So, you know, in the beginning, I wanted to dig into the weeds, but I kept feeling like I had to pull back and say, okay, I would like to remind people how incredibly beautiful giving birth is and remind people what we're fighting for and what we need to make better in this country is this miraculous thing that our bodies are able to do and is to make this child come into the world.
Well said. And Lisa, in, you know, jumping off of what Carolyn just shared about what's happening in this country and what people don't understand and the lack of comprehension of what a midwife is, for instance, what have you learned along the way, or has anything kind of bubbled to the surface about what's happening in other, let's say, quote unquote, industrialized countries or developed countries, whatever term we use these days. Have you learned that it's much different in other countries? Are they not facing the crisis that we are?
Right. I mean, the simple answer is yes, it's different. And in many countries, they are not facing this crisis. And that's actually where this project started. So we were working with our advisory team of globally focused nurse leaders and talking about the UN Sustainable Development Goals and where among those goals, you know, where are nurses really able to make a huge difference? And we wanted to start here in the United States. So as we began that research, we looked at where are we falling the furthest behind compared to our peer countries? And maternal mortality was the obvious choice. It was the clear outlier where, statistically speaking, we are far below our peers. There are countries in Northern Europe, even countries like Poland, they essentially have virtually no maternal deaths, almost zero. They're such a low number. And so why is it that our country still faces such a high maternal mortality rate? And then when you dig in further, you realize that the disparity piece is so huge. So Black women and Native American women are three times more likely to die or to have a bad outcome as white women. And when you look at a place like New York City, the statistics are even more dramatic. I think it's like 9 to 1 in some hospitals. So if you're a Black mom giving birth in certain hospitals in New York City, you're 9 times more likely to die than a white woman in the same hospital. So it's really, really dramatic. And I do think that is a very complex issue. And we try to address it in the film and have experts kind of talking about some of the social determinants. But the systemic racism piece is clearly there. We know, and there's been a lot of research that proves that Black women just aren't listened to by their providers and their pain level isn't taken into account. It's assumed that they have a higher pain tolerance. There's just so much. And this is across healthcare. But it's true, especially for giving birth, because, you know, this is a problem specific to women or birthing people. So it's something that we hope we can shed some light on, because that's a really critical issue. No matter how you look at the numbers and the statistics, the disparity is really there.
Yes. And just taking the pain piece you just mentioned, you know, think about Black women with sickle cell disease, and they go into the hospital in sickle cell crisis. And from what I understand, the pain of sickle cell crisis is astronomical. And, you know, they can be labeled as drug seeking. You know, there's all sorts of things that can be laid on them for what we now consider are likely issues related to systemic racism and the presuppositions that we come into care with. So, Carolyn, in making the film, talking to nurses, talking to nurse midwives, talking to mothers and women, trying to get a grasp of what's going on, what is it about the lack of listening and hearing the stories and understanding what women want, or even valuing the notion of a birthing plan, of a birth plan, where are we missing the mark? And where do you feel like nurses and or nurse midwives are kind of shifting that, you know, that paradigm?
So there are a lot of questions in there, but I want to go back for a minute to the idea of what it's like to be pregnant with sickle cell. We, one of our sponsors for this film was UPenn, and we just recently went there to explore what they're doing in their hospital to address all of these issues. And we met two doctors, Dr. Hal and Dr. James, talking about exactly this systemic racism in the hospital in Philadelphia. What, you know, what does it really mean? I think Dr. Hal said 60% of the women who give birth there are Black. They are facing this head on. They've come up with a lot of really interesting programs. We met a young nurse named Danielle who talked to us, both nurses that we met, Liz and Danielle, talking to us about programs that they've designed to find a way to talk to patients in a new way and to like face racism head on and talk about it at each meeting and talk about, you know, what they're learning. But we also had an opportunity to meet a young Black pregnant mom who has sickle cell, and which was eye-opening for me. I think a lot of us don't realize the extent of the pain that a woman suffering from sickle cell goes through during pregnancy. I certainly didn't realize that. To the point where they've come up with a very innovative solution there to do a blood exchange. And they go into the hospital and it's not like a full blood transfusion, but they do a blood exchange. And that seems to be a program that's working really, really well and has found a way to reduce some of that pain that women are feeling. But we had a chance to talk to JoJo in the room while she was having that treatment. Mm-hmm. And she talked about what it's like to have people think that you're a drug addict just because you have sickle cell. She spoke of those very things. And I think it was really interesting for us to be in a place where it was very comfortable to talk about that. And so much I've witnessed over the last decade in my life that a lot of this is coming to the surface. There's a lot that we're able to talk about that we weren't able to talk about. I think one of the interesting things Dr. Hal said while I was there was that you couldn't even talk about race a few years ago in a hospital setting. They weren't really discussing it, and now it's almost part of every conversation. So the one thing I'd like to say is that we have seen enormous progress over the last, for Lisa and I to travel around the country, and we went to Tanzania as well to sort of explore what birth looks like there. But we've seen progress in the conversations that people are having about both race and birth. But I think to fast forward, you know, if I had to say the one thing that we heard over and over from moms was, I didn't feel listened to. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like anybody heard me or anybody was taking the time or they were, and particularly with the Black moms that we met. And then there would be a breath of fresh air because they met a midwife who would sit down and talk to them. And, you know, I think the solution here is that we need more women of color who become nurses and are midwives. We just need more. We need more people who represent all of us to be in those fields, because we are more comfortable, I think, very often having someone who looks like us take care of us.
Mm. Yeah.
And Russ, I
go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Just to jump in on the solution piece. I think that element of time is what we found over and over again, time and listening. So if you have more nurses, more nurse midwives, if everybody felt like they could have those additional visits with their providers, but the provider doesn't have to be a physician. That could be a nurse practitioner. That could be a nurse midwife. That could be a registered nurse coming to your home as part of something like the nurse family partnership. But giving the woman the time to just ask those questions, especially for first-time parents or families with other young kids at home, you know, there are so many questions, and there's so much support that's needed, and we don't really have a safety net in place in for everyone. And I think that for those people who might have an extended family and their mom lives next door, great, wonderful. You have that support in place, but that isn't every woman or every family, everyone's story. And so when you don't have those things, I think nurses are really able to bridge that gap in an outpatient setting, in a home visiting setting, or ideally, if you have access to nurse practitioners or nurse midwives as your providers.
Yes. And we feature the Nurse Family Partnership on the show back in 2020 or 2021, based in Philadelphia, for that reason, because we wanted to hear those voices from on the ground who were seeing people in their homes, because seeing a woman in the hospital is a lot different than visiting her in her home and understanding her, what we would call nursing, her biopsychosocial needs. And Carolyn, you were going to add something there as well.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, earlier you said, what's different? What are we doing different here than they're doing in other countries? Why are our numbers the way they are? Well, one of the things that comes to the surface immediately is that they have more midwives. In our country, when you find out you're pregnant, you see a doctor and you are considered a patient. In many other countries, you don't see a doctor first. If you have a normal pregnancy, you very may go through your entire pregnancy and not need a doctor. You start at the other end of the pyramid and you see a midwife. And that is someone who has more time. And as Lisa said, time became the main thing that we realized, whether it's time to talk to someone and sort of work through all of the issues, time during the labor process to just let things happen naturally. Everybody doesn't labor the same way, obviously. And yet we, you know, we have a very unique set of problems here in the United States, and it's complicated. We can't always bring midwives into the hospitals, and there's still a little bit of tension between the doctors and the midwives, and they haven't worked that out everywhere. We were lucky enough to get to University of Kentucky Hospital, where we saw that relationship work really beautifully. And I think their outcomes represent that because of how they're able to integrate the midwives into the hospital system there.
Yeah. And that whole notion of the midwife, you're right. It's still, for many people, harkens back to, you know, they start thinking about druids, or, you know, they start thinking about cauldrons and, you know, hanging from branches to give birth, which, you know, could actually be very efficacious. But people have this very old fashioned, outdated, anachronistic view of what midwifery is. And they don't realize that certified nurse midwives are actually advanced practice registered nurses. And, you know, it's a real career track and profession that has a long history and has a lot of effective ways of intervening in birth that the medical model might not address, or might just kind of railroad a woman through to, you know, making sure they give birth by lunch, you know? So when we come back from the break, I want to talk more about the film itself and reflect a little bit about the other films in the American Nurse Project and somewhat of your vision for where this film could go from here. So hang in there with us. We'll be right back for the second half of this episode of The Nurse Keith Show with filmmaker Carolyn Jones and film producer Lisa Frank. And welcome back to the second half of the episode. We're here again with friends of the pod and my friends and colleagues, Lisa Frank and Carolyn Jones. And Carolyn, I wanted to jump back to you, to your career as a photographer and a documentary filmmaker. So you've focused up, what did you say, the last 12 years, basically, nurses and nursing have been a big focus for you. And that started with the American Nurse Project, which Lisa mentioned at the top of the show was actually going to be a coffee table book. And it is a beautiful coffee table book, but it went far beyond that. So for you, you know, what has, in the big picture, if we pull the camera back, no pun intended, what is it about nurses and nursing that has captivated you so much to keep you so interested and focused and wanting to highlight nurses for so many years in so many projects?
Well, it's a big question for me. I have fallen in love with this profession. I never thought about it before I started this project. I had a great nurse. I loved the nurse that I had, but I didn't think about the entire profession until I was asked to do that book, and Lisa and I hit the road and met all of these nurses across the country. And there were these traits that nurses had that started to pop up that I found over and over, incredibly optimistic and engaging. And I wanted to be around them more. Honestly, on a personal level, I just feel like through osmosis, being with nurses for the last decade has made me a better human being. I think that the compassion and the empathy and the ability to be able to care for others without judgment, I find it so breathtakingly beautiful. And I know all nurses aren't perfect, and I don't go into this with rose-colored glasses. And I know that there are problems in the profession just like any other profession, but I have never spent time with a group of people that I more admire than nurses. So it's a privilege to get to look at issues through this lens. It's, for me, the world that we're living in that's full of so much divisiveness and so much heavy-handed politics about everything, that to be with a group of people that can just show us what the issues are without coloring them at all, that's a gift. And as a documentary filmmaker, that's all you're looking for. You just want to tell the truth. You just want to show it the way it is and tell the truth and not have a bias. And so, you know, this is like documentary filmmaking heaven, to be able to look through the lens of nurses.
Yeah, well said. And Lisa, to dovetail on what Carolyn just shared, what's been some of the impacts on you, and what have you learned about nurses and nursing, and how has that had an impact on you personally, or just in the ways in which you see the world, like Carolyn shared?
I think it's the one thing we've learned more than anything is everybody has a personal experience with a nurse that they will never forget. And I don't know if I know anybody at this point who hasn't had a personal experience, or their parent had a personal experience. And so when I've had my own experiences with nurses since beginning this project, they've been that much deeper. And so one of the reasons American Delivery is personal for me too is I have two kids. I'm a mom. And with my first son, I did have complications during childbirth. And the physician and I actually were arguing. We didn't agree. We hadn't agreed. She was blaming me for making choices to delay being induced. And it was the nurse who got me through it. And it was the nurse who, the pediatricians didn't come in quickly. The nurse was such an expert. She dealt with the baby, had meconium and complications. And I just was so grateful to have such an expert nurse. She got me through that experience far beyond, and emotionally too, beyond anything the physician was doing to help me. In fact, the physician was making it worse. So I've had other experiences since that time too, with my sister, with a wonderful nurse that she worked with. And I'm just so grateful. I know that I haven't done what I should be doing to give back and thank those nurses personally. And we all, I think, have stories like that too. But I hope that with these projects, we can find a way to collectively thank the nurses and the nursing profession. And that's what we're really trying to do, is say, how can we elevate their voice? Because the public doesn't hear from nurses nearly enough. We really, truly don't know the depth and breadth of that profession. And so I hope that we can honor them with this project.
I think you do. And I think this ongoing project, you know, film after film after film, I think is you're creating this little powerhouse library of, you know, a documentation of the breadth and depth of what you're talking about in terms of nurses. And I'll just share, in honor of Nurses Week, I'll share a really quick story that one of my aunts was a nurse during World War II. And when people ask me why I became a nurse, I often say, oh, it was my Aunt Jan, to some extent, my Aunt Sylvia, her partner. But Jan would tell a story, and I don't know how much of this was a tall tale, because she was a tall tale teller. But the very cinematic image, she would tell the story of being one of General Patton's personal nurses during the war, and that when he had hemorrhoids, she would have him soak his hemorrhoids in his helmet. So that was one of those images that stuck with me throughout my life. Just if you want to picture that, feel free.
That's going to stick with
Thank
us for a while,
yeah.
I have to say.
It's like if I said, don't picture a pink elephant, you would picture it. Now you have George Patton's dairy.
Unfortunately.
So sorry. My apologies.
There was one other thing I wanted to say about this work. I think it really did start as a big thank you in so many ways. Once our eyes were open to the role that nurses play and have helped our loved ones so dramatically and including ourselves, it did start that way. And then it shifted for me somewhere along the line. I started to feel as though the nurses that we were meeting are an untapped resource in our country. I really, with all my heart, believe that nurses can make the world a better place. I believe that they can make change, that they see things uniquely. There's the Nurse Global Leadership Academy at Case Western is the Marion K. Shaughnessy Leadership Academy. And I've had a chance through knowing some of them who have helped us with this film and been on our advisory team to see the change that having the perspective that nurses have, they are able to make change and see things more clearly than the rest of us. And I really think that we have a huge untapped resource in this country. And if we went to nurses more often to find answers, to find solutions, we would be in a better spot. So that's part of my mission with this is not just to look back within the bubble of nursing and say thank you, which is a very important thing. And we know there's a nurse shortage and we want to encourage people to take this path and stay with it if they can. But it's also to say you have enormous vision for the world and the rest of us can benefit greatly from it. We just need to take the time to listen, which is what you spend your days doing.
Well, I know you're not pandering. I know you're really sincere and authentic, or you wouldn't have spent these last 12 years doing all these projects. And, you know, there are and have been several nurses in Congress. There's actually a nurse I know, Gloria Daugherty, here in New Mexico, who's running for an open seat in the state Senate in a special election this spring. I know there's an organization I've had on the show whose name escapes me at the moment, which is an organization that helps nurses figure out how to run for office if they would like to do so. And of course, that, you know, on the policy advocacy side, having nurses in positions of power is awesome. It doesn't happen very often, but it is happening a little bit more. There's a little bit more consciousness around it. But also just having them listened to. So I think your projects are one way of standing on a soapbox and telling the world to listen. And Lisa, some of the nurses you all met in the making of this film, there's one particular nurse who, I think it's Dr. Steed, who you showcase in the in the film. And I think it has a lot to do with health equity and her leadership. Can you paint a picture of what her story is?
Yeah, absolutely. So Dr. Erica Steed is the CEO of the Metro Health System, which is a huge safety net hospital system in Cleveland, Ohio. And she is the first nurse, the first woman, and the first person of color to ever lead that hospital system. And it's been around for almost 200 years. So she really is in a historic position there. And we wanted to tell her story and show what she's doing at Metro Health because her vision is, as she says, to zero out the death gap. So not just with maternal health, but with all healthcare, because there are disparities in every aspect of our healthcare. And as a safety net health system in Cleveland, they have, I think it's a majority Black population, a large Hispanic population, and they see these disparities in all of the work that they do. And her focus is how can we implement programs with the community? She looks at the community as the patient, That's how she describes it. So looking at all the social determinants of health, sometimes that means helping people in the community find a job, find housing, find transportation, making sure they have access to their medication. And we were just so inspired by her style of leadership. You know, she goes around and makes sure everyone in the hospital knows her personally, that she has met them, has listened to them. And so in particular, she's focused on bringing in programs like the Nurse Family Partnership. And she has her own personal story that's connected to this as well, which is that she was a two-time survivor of preeclampsia with two of her children. And so she knows firsthand what that was like, what that experience was like as a Black woman. And she wants to make sure that, you know, that everyone else that might experience preeclampsia is also a survivor and is not a member of these sort of, you know, really dire statistics that we see.
Hmm. It sounds like someone I'd love to have on the show. So I might ask you to connect me with her because
absolutely,
I think there's a lot for her to share. And I'd love to have a public conversation with her so that we can highlight her career and, you know, what her vision is.
Nina Martin is a journalist that we have interviewed in the film. And she was the journalist for ProPublica who sort of broke this story in 2017 around maternal mortality rates. And she did a story about a nurse who died in New Jersey and of preeclampsia that wasn't recognized. And that's what kind of, and so anyway, in our interview with Nina, I think she sums this up really nicely because she says you can't silo reproductive care and separate it out from maternal health and well-being and family health and well-being. All of these things are really interconnected. And so what becomes dangerous is saying, well, we're gonna deal with reproductive health in this separate bucket. But when in fact, you know, if a woman has a pregnancy that isn't viable, you know, obviously, that's something that needs to be dealt with and with her family and her and make personal decisions. As you can see, it's hard for me to even talk about this because it is so complicated. It's hard for all of us to talk about this. But I do think that in the history of birth becoming so medicalized, one of the things that happened too was the focus only on the child and making sure that the child was healthy when it was born. And then we sort of forgot about what happens to that mother who's hemorrhaging, who's having a spike in blood pressure. So now hopefully the focus is shifting back, at least in terms of emergency preparedness in childbirth, where we're really focused on remembering, you know, to focus on the mom and making sure that she's okay. And we hope that the film in that sense will be a reminder of those things, to focus on the mom and not just this beautiful, adorable baby that was born, but let's make sure that her mental health, you know, is supported, her physical well-being is supported. And so I wish that we would all just shift our focus back to thinking about those birthing people and those moms and how they're doing and their choices and their autonomy, and not just worrying about that fetus or that baby.
Yeah, so important. So important. Caroline, you wanted to add one more thing there?
Yeah, you know, we live in this litigious society, and I think that has really complicated things as well. Mm-hmm. And so, I do feel as though women have lost so much of their voice about what happens. And you know, we met this young woman in Brooklyn who is just, she's just fierce. Her name is Dominique, and she's a Black mom, and she didn't have a lot of faith in giving, as Lisa said earlier, the numbers in Brooklyn for giving birth for a Black mom are just horrible. And so she found the Brooklyn Birthing Center, which is a marvelous place that she went to. And she kind of gives us the last line of the film when she says, you know, speak up if you feel something wrong, because nobody knows your body better than you do. And I think, you know, that's really our biggest message, is to just help women find get the knowledge, get the information that they need to get, and be able to speak for themselves. And hopefully somehow we will find our way back into getting more power over what happens to us.
Mm. Yeah, thank you for that. And I want people to go to americandelivery.film so that they can learn more about the film, see the trailer. You also have it up on LinkedIn, on your profile, Carolyn. We'll have links to all your social media. And they can also go to carolynjones.com, of course, to learn more about you and the work you and Lisa have done all these years. And there's something different I do at the end of each show since you were all last on here. And there's four quick questions I ask all my guests. And it's not really directly related to what we've been talking about. Since there's two of you, we have to have them be a little concise and kind of do a lightning round. So each of you gets to hear a couple of the questions in advance and practice and think about what you're going to say while the other one is answering. So Lisa, I want to ask you this first question. How do you define success personally or professionally?
I would define success as a sense of moving forward and advancing messages that will get people to think. Hopefully, the work that we're doing is really sparking conversations. And so I would define success as how many conversations are launched by the work that we're doing and sort of the ripple effect from there.
I love that. How about you, Carolyn? How would you describe it?
Personally, it's whether I feel a measure of purpose. Have I succeeded in changing anybody's mind about anything? Have I been able to translate an idea over to someone else and get their mind to open? But having purpose in life is how I determine my own personal success.
I love that. And Carolyn, you're going to get the second question first now. Is there a book or even a movie as a filmmaker, might be a movie, doesn't have to be an absolute favorite, but something that is a touchstone for you that is one of those like crystallizing things in your life that just holds a lot of meaning for you?
Absolutely. It's a book by Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. Mm-hmm. And it is a book I know very, very well and an extraordinary story. And it's about a thousand things, but it's about love in the end and how much that matters and the will to live.
Mm-hmm. And his surviving of concentration camp. Yeah,
exactly. And and what gave him the purpose to go on each day.
Exactly. Yeah. And how about you, Lisa? Is there something you could point out?
I read Native Son by Richard Wright when I was maybe in middle school or high school, and it stuck with me for so many years because I grew up in Baltimore, which was a very segregated city, and then I moved to Chicago. And so just the idea of racism and understanding the perspective of this protagonist named Bigger, it just had a profound influence on me in wanting to understand more about race relations and how we could do better to bridge some gaps. And so I think that that's relevant for this film because we're really hoping to get people to think more about race and how that might impact our healthcare experiences.
Right. Yeah. Native Son is really part of the canon of American literature focused on race, for sure. And Lisa, this third question, penultimate question, could you name or describe a person who's really inspired you in your life? They could be living or dead. They could be a very famous person, or it could just be someone in your personal life who none of us would ever have the chance to encounter.
That's a tough question. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people, but I'm going to throw it to Carolyn Jones because Carolyn and I have been working together for almost 15 years at this point. And I think she's influenced me in so many ways. You know, a lot has to do with kindness and her way of interacting with the world and with people, both on a personal friend level, but also professionally. I think that she has the ability, which is unusual, to make everyone feel really good. And I haven't met too many other people that are able to do that all the time. You know, and she can be funny and sassy and quirky. But I really think that's a unique quality that Carolyn has. And I think it shows in all of the work.
Oh, that's lovely. How about you, Carolyn?
I don't know if I can get over that, because that kind of got right in the heart, because I have been struck over the last few days by how lucky I am to get to work with Lisa. And I think we complete one another in a lot of ways. We're a team, and I've grown being with her. So I appreciate that, but you have a lot to do with that growth, Lisa. There was a woman that I worked for many years ago, not full-time or anything, but her name's Geraldine Laybourne. And Geraldine Laybourne started the Nickelodeon Network. Mm-hmm. And she was a school teacher from the Midwest who grew up like getting paid a dollar from her grandmother if she could memorize a line from Shakespeare. And there are just so many colorful things about her life. But she rose very far up. She started the Oxygen Network with Oprah Winfrey after Nickelodeon. And no matter how far she got, she was so authentic and so herself. And I admired her ability to go through life and not get caught up in the trappings of her success.
Well, that's great. Okay. So last question, Carolyn, if you were named queen of the world tomorrow, and you had ultimate power, what would be your first act as queen?
Oh my goodness. In this miraculous world that you're describing, where I'm queen, there would also be this miraculous blanket I could throw over that would equalize everybody, that we would all, it would be like a, I don't know, we would all be able to have access to safe water and food and education and healthcare. And we would start from there. That would be our beginning.
Awesome. Beautiful. How about you, Lisa? If you were named queen tomorrow,
universal healthcare.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, it's a good place to start. And if you had ultimate power, you could eventually do it all anyway. But it's always, I like hearing what people's first act would be. And it often has to do around like equity and everyone having access to what they need to live a good life. So I really appreciate that. So it's so great to have you all here for a third time, and it won't be the last time. And again, I want people to go to americandelivery.film. That's the main place to go to learn about the film American Delivery. And I hope that this film makes an enormous splash and really makes the rounds of the circuit of the, what do you call them? The,
film festivals.
Film festivals, and that it just does really, really well and makes the mark that you all hope it will. So thanks for doing this amazing work in the world and honoring nurses so much for so many years.
It is a pleasure and an honor. So thanks for having us and giving us a chance to do it.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Nurse Keith Show. Remember, the show notes will be at nursekeith.com or on any app where you happen to be listening. If you need personalized holistic career coaching, check out nursekeith.com and Nurse Keith Coaching. Mention the show and get 10% off your first coaching package. We are proud members of the Health Podcast Network at healthpodcastnetwork.com, and we are adroitly produced by the amazing, inimitable Rob Johnston of 520R Podcasting. And before we say goodbye, I'll leave you with this quote, one of my very favorites you've all heard before, by the musician Robert Fripp. May my living honor my parents. May my living repay the debt of my existence. Be well, dig deep, seek joy, keep in touch. This is Nurse Keith saying adios till next time. From beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico, Lisa Frank saying arrivederci from
Brooklyn, New York.
All right. And Carolyn Jones saying adieu from
Reading, Connecticut.
All right. Thank you both so very much. Thanks to everyone for listening and sharing. And we will catch you on the proverbial flip side.